moment that I first felt that I belonged to a Unitarian Universalist congregation. It was 1994 on a Sunday morning. I had just dropped two of my kids off in the nursery and was in the foyer like this, just before service, all chaos, getting your order of service and your order of worship and your hymnal. And then I felt a hand. Over. She's probably long retired. She said, "Dave, I need you to teach the fourth grade army class." "I can help you and you'll be great." And I'm like, "Okay then, all right." So I taught Marie to a wild bunch of fourth graders. And I taught RE the rest of that year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. Second grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, junior youth, senior youth. I taught the Our Whole Lives sexuality class twice. I taught its predecessor curriculum, which goes way back to like the 70s, AYS, About Your Sexuality, taught that class. I was the chair of the Ohio Legal District Summer Institute, which is like SUSE. All this stuff over a 20-year period, but it was really that moment when that TRE put her hand on my shoulder that I first felt that, rather than just attended a congregation, I felt like I first quite belonged to a congregation. In 2001, the UUA's Commission on Appraisal, which is a body of lay members of the Unitarian Universalist Association, who periodically review the association itself to see whether or not it's carrying out its mission. And then they issue a report. Back in 2001, in their report, they said, "Often we hear these days that they're seeking a spiritual community, but want nothing to do with organized religion. By the former, they seem to mean a place that will meet their own religious needs. The latter, they seem to associate a place that will make demands upon them to support the institution's needs. The reality is that you cannot have one without the other. And part of the church's job is to lead people to the discovery of the spiritual truth that it is only by giving that we can receive. Giving not only our money, but ourselves. In other words, only by making a commitment to a community can we hope to build a community. In other words, only by making a commitment to a community can we build. I agree with this, and with the little added twist. I believe that there's actually no inherent community here, or anywhere, other than the community that we create. Actually, that's not even correct. There's no community here other than the community that you create. Although we do things with others, we all experience community in our own way, through our own lenses. We can't have anyone else's experience. So the community that I create and experience here is going to be different than the community that you create and experience here. And it's going to be different than the community that someone sitting next to you experiences. In a way, each one of us is responsible for the community and belonging that we choose to create. We are responsible for our own belonging. This reminds me of a puzzling story that I once heard at SUSE, actually. And at the gate of the city is sitting this wise old man. The traveler says, "Old man, what's the city like?" The old man says, "Well, what was your last city like?" The man says, "It was a bad city. People were cheaters, liars, swindlers, always trying to get over on you. It was a bad city." The wise man says, "This is just like that." Traveler gets angry, walks on. Then another traveler comes upon the gates of the city, sees the wise old man sitting there, and says, "Hey, old man, what's the city like?" He replies, "Well, what was your old city like?" The traveler says, "Well, it was a good city. The people were nice to one another, friendly. They were concerned about my well-being. Yeah, it was a good city." The wise old man says, "This city is just like that. Just like that." A puzzling story indeed. I believe it highlights one's own responsibility as to what one brings to, what energy one brings to a community that they wish to belong to. For example, I would say that the cities that the two men belong to probably had some good people answer that. Oh, and it was a mix of both. And one chose to see the good, one chose to see the bad. Who knows? Maybe they came from the same city. Reverend Robert Latham says that membership and belonging in a congregation becomes synonymous with a covenant of commitment the ministry and mission of a congregation, a covenant of commitment to the ministry and mission of a congregation. Reverend Michael Piazza says it differently. He says, membership and belonging means taking off the bib and putting on the apron. A little transfer from being served to being a service. A significant reorientation from this morning's reading. Membership and belonging doesn't mean being agreed with. Membership and belonging doesn't mean that you're entitled to beautiful, soaring, poetic sermons each and every week. You know you're not doing that. Membership and belonging doesn't mean that you will only sing the hymns that you agree with. Membership and belonging doesn't mean you're a customer with a bib waiting to be served heavily caffeinated coffee. Fortunately, you all understand this. Now they're saying, "Who's talking?" Renee Noel Felice writes, and most hopefully and excitingly, that membership and belonging is not something conferred upon one by an instant other, but a covenant among individuals to become something new. To become something new. I love that. That's a little bit scary. To become something new involves change. Change involves letting go of something that you maybe love dearly. There can be some grief and loss in creating something new. Joining in covenant, taking off the bib, putting on the apron, a willingness to become something new. These are all active, intentional, and incarnational choices that we each make, have the power to make, to create a sense of community and belonging. To me, rather than merely attending a Unitarian Universalist congregation, but belonging is where the excitement is. That's where the love and the center is. It inspires me, has inspired me to serve. And as ridiculous as it might sound, it leads me to do things that I would never probably normally do, like go to church meetings. I actually like going to church meetings. I like it. And this sincere sense of belonging inspires me to not only regard my pledge as a necessary evil, but something that I joyfully give. Because I belong here, I want to make my pledge, and I want to make sure it's paid in full. It's not something bad. I truly want to make my pledge. It gives me joy. Pledging, volunteering, church meetings, all bring me joy. And I attribute that again to the sense of belonging that I have had to intentionally cultivate. And this sense of community belonging, it's something that I want for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. Something that I all wish for you to experience in your own way. I think human does a great job at opening the doors, setting the table, making it easy for anyone to begin to get started to create that sense of community and belonging. We have a great group of readers and worship team and choir, of course, social justice. Great second-hour programs, great children's programs, lots of places for you to begin to connect and find your own way to belong. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think that perhaps more than anything else, our most innate, most